Please be seated. Thank you, worship team, for being wonderful. Thank you, Ryan. Love you, man. Amen. Go with mom. Evelyn has sound effects to every possible thing in her life. As often as she can, there are sound effects. Elaine is learning well, adding more sound effects. Okay, good. It's good to be in church. Today we're going to continue our focus series that we started at the beginning of this year. As a church, this year we plan to be very intentionally focused on three things. The first is glorifying God. It's the most important thing you can do with any time in your life, with any moment of your life, is to give God glory. That's the reason that we were created, because God wanted to be glorified. That's the most important thing we can do. The second thing we're going to focus on is equipping the saints, and we're going to talk about that today. The third thing is sharing the gospel, because we have to be focused on not just what's in here and the people that are here gathering with us on a regular basis, but on the community that we live in and the people around the world who don't know Jesus. Last week we looked at what it meant to glorify God, that we would glorify God intentionally, not by accident. It's almost impossible to glorify God by accident. You have to be intentional about it. We talked about that we would glorify God in the way that we live, that we would glorify God by having faith in Him. So as we go throughout the year, we will have in this church an intentional focus on giving glory to the Father. So we will look at Scripture with that desire. We will write and schedule programming with that desire. Everything that we do out of this building, everything that we do with our resources, will be done with that in mind. Today we turn our focus to the second part of that, which is to equip the saints. To do that, we're going to be mostly hanging out in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. So if you want to turn in your Bibles there with me today, we're going to be hanging out in Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 12, but we're going to bounce around quite a bit in that chapter. Went too far. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 12. Ephesians 12 or 4 verse 12 says to equip the saints for the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ. That's going to be our focus today. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for your word. Help us to understand it and divide it rightly so that we can apply it to our lives so that we may be changed into the people that you've called us to be. God, we want to give you glory with everything that we do in our lives. Help us to do that today. Lord, in this time I want to lift up Linda and her trip to the hospital this week. We ask that you would provide healing miracles there, that you would guide doctors' hands and their minds as they go through the process of helping her. We thank you for that. We thank you for quick and efficient procedures and things that would give you glory. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I got a message on Facebook while we were in worship that Linda Hayes is going to Quincy Monday or sometime early this week to have another feeding tube put in. She's had one for a while. I'm not sure what the exact circumstances are, but be praying for Linda and Dawn. And they have to go somewhere this morning for a COVID test to make sure that they can go through with the procedure. So be praying for safe travels for them today, because they're driving in that mess out there. And it is still snowing as far as I know. So we're in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. In a few weeks, we're going to be starting a series on the book of Ephesians because I love Ephesians. There is so much wisdom in that book. It's such an incredible letter to the church. And I personally really like letters to the church because we are the church and it feels very directed at us. And a lot of times as you get to them in your life as a believer, it is relevant because he's talking to the Apostle Paul and God through the Apostle Paul is talking to believers. So he's talking about things that we go through and things that we deal with and edifying us as people. So we're going to start a series on that. If you haven't read Ephesians recently, I recommend spending some time there to prepare yourself for that series. Today, we're going to bounce around in this section of Scripture a little bit. I want to pull out specific ideas from it and hopefully understand how important it really is that we become a church of equipped saints, a church of equipped believers. First, we should discuss for a moment what it means to be equipped. What it means to be equipped. When I joined the Army, one of the first things that they do is to take all of your stuff. That's step one. They give you some clothes, like some gym shorts and a t-shirt. Then they take everything else that you have and say, you don't get this for a while. And then they give you the rest of the stuff that you're going to need. They issue you what's called TA-50, which is a helmet and a rucksack and full of stuff, poncho and cold weather gear and all this nonsense, all the stuff that you need to do the job, a rifle, all of the stuff. You're issued that stuff at the very beginning so that you can do the work that you are there to do. Every time that you change duty stations, you turn in your TA-50 and you get new equipment because each duty station is different. The things that you need in Lawton, Oklahoma are not the same things that you need in Alaska if you were to be deployed there for some reason. So every time you get equipment, it's going to be a little bit different. The reality is, as a soldier, there was equipment that was necessary to complete the jobs that we were given in a safe and effective way. So they gave it to you. That was the responsibility of the organization to give you the things that you need. Now, guys would go out and buy their own stuff that would be better than the stuff that was given because the stuff that was given was stored in a room much like some of these closets and had been there for 30 years or so and had 400 soldiers wear it already, and it wasn't an ideal piece of equipment, but it would work. Equipping means to supply what you don't have. Equipping means to give you the things that you need to do the job. In 1 Thessalonians verse 3 or chapter 3 verse 10, it says, as we pray earnestly night and day to see you face to face and to complete what is lacking in your faith. That verse, that same, the word that we use or that we see in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 12 is translated in 1 Thessalonians 3:10 as what is lacking, to give you what is lacking. So that's the idea that we have here, to be equipped, because we come into this lacking quite a bit. The word is also translated and can be translated as to mend or repair or to prepare something. It's translated that way in Matthew verse 4 or chapter 4. I keep messing up the word chapter and verse this morning. I'm not sure why that's happening. In Matthew chapter 4 verse 21, it says, going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and the other brother John. They were in a boat with Zebedee, their father, preparing their nets, and he called to them. So where it says preparing their nets, it's the same word. They were equipping their nets. So having that understanding that it is to give you the things that you need, to supply what you don't have, to mend or prepare, we take a look at this passage and we see that we need to be equipped. We're going to take a look in depth today and study this out because this passage of Scripture shows us who needs to be equipped and why and what happens when we are or aren't. The first question that I would want to ask is, what is the task and who is supposed to do it? Because if you're given equipment, it's for a purpose. If you're given tools, it's for a job. Some of us just collect tools, but most of the time you get them because you need them. I usually buy a tool after I've had to borrow it twice. If I have to borrow it once, okay, no big deal. But if I have to borrow it a second time, I may as well own one because I might need it a third time. And it sucks to ask Robert to borrow that thing four times. Or whoever else, you know? You keep going back and saying, hey, I need that again. Hey, buy your own, man. It kind of goes that way. But you have tools, you're given equipment because there's a task. So my first question is, what is the task and who is supposed to do it? We find that answer in verse 12. The task is the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ. That's the job. That's what we're supposed to be doing. The job that the equipment is needed for, the equipping is needed for, is the work that is necessary to build up the body of Christ. This is strength training, endurance training. The task is the building up, the improving, the strengthening of the body of Christ. Interestingly enough, this is not really talking about new believers. It's not talking about going out and doing work outside of the church. This is talking about the way that we deal with each other. And we see that in the verse, word for word. It says, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ. That's the work. So here's the body. You guys are the body. So the work is to build you up. There are many other times in Scripture that refer to a need to share the gospel. We're going to talk about that next week. We're going to talk about that a lot this year. But in this specific message, Paul seems to be talking about building up of the body of believers that exists right now as it is. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling. So he's talking about people who are saved right now. We are part of one body of Christ. So that's the task. I've kind of alluded to it already, but who's responsible for the task? The saints are. The human beings that make up the church, who Paul calls saints, who Jesus called saints, those people are responsible for that task. Members of the church are responsible to minister to one another, to care for one another, to build each other up, to cause the body as a whole to grow. Because the reality is, we go through crap all the time. We go through stuff all the time. And as much as I would want to, as a loving individual, I would want to be involved in every one of your ever-loving problems, I can't be. Because the church is too big for that. Even our little church, we have to be so interconnected because we're all part of one body that we are taking care of one another, building each other up. This becomes a self-discipline, a self-care kind of behavior, taking care of one another. And it is necessary. You ever heard about somebody that they really just let themselves go? What are they talking about when they say that? They're gaining a bunch of weight. They haven't done their makeup in 6 months. They haven't gotten a haircut in 3 years. They really let themselves go, you know? We're called to care for each other as part of one body so that we don't let ourselves go. Because as a church, we can let ourselves go and let fallacy come in. Let false teachers come in. Let nonsense come in. And we can become something that looks so drastically different than what we are supposed to be that we're unrecognizable. So it's a self-discipline. So the equipping of saints becomes providing the things that you lack to be able to do that. Giving the saints the tools and the supplies necessary to be able to care for yourselves. You're not going to get everything that you need to live throughout the week as a believer from this one short message from your pastor on a Sunday morning. I got 20 minutes of your time. It's not enough. We have to be caring for one another. If you only diet for 20 minutes a week, it will not help. If you only fast for 20 minutes out of the week, you will not grow spiritually at all. It has to be something that is prolonged. It becomes a self-discipline. So the equipping becomes providing the things that you lack to be able to do that, giving you the tools and supplies necessary to care for yourselves and to create from yourselves a people who honor God. Why do we need to be equipped? Well, we go back to the definition of equipping. We have to repair what is broken. Because when we came into this, we weren't perfect, right? That's part of the reason most of us came to the Lord is because we were broken. So we equip you by helping to repair that. To supply what is lacking. There are resources and tools and things that the church is supposed to provide to the saints that make up the church so that you're equipped, so that you have the things that you need. This chapter describes two gifts from Christ. The first is grace according to its own measure. We find that in Ephesians 4, verse 7. It says, now grace was given to each of... I keep looking up there, but I never gave you the scripture. That's my fault. Ephesians 4, verse 7 says, now grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. That was the first gift described here, grace. But it's interesting because each one of us was supplied with a different amount of grace according to that scripture. Because I needed more grace than Eden did. If you know me, you know. I needed more grace than she did. We're each given a different amount of grace. And then the second gift is the offices of the church. And that seems kind of arrogant for the pastor to stand up here and say, I'm a gift to you. But the Bible says that Jesus, the same Jesus that it describes as in such a beautiful way, verse 8 it says, For it says, when he ascended on high, he took the captives captive, he gave gifts to the people. But what does ascended mean except that that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? The one who is described is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens to fill all things. And then in verse 11 it says, and he himself, so that beautiful description of Jesus leads into, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. That's verse 11. We've been talking about verse 12. Verse 12 is the job that those people are supposed to do in verse 11. You have apostles, prophets, the other three. Apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. To fulfill that job of equipping the saints. The work that we have to do. Because there are things that we're missing. Even though we were given grace, we don't have it all figured out. There are things that are missing that need mending, that need correction. There are ideas that we get about God from our own understanding that are just not right. Listen to country music for a while. You're going to understand a lot of things incorrectly about God. Listen to worship music sometimes. You're going to understand a lot of things incorrectly about God. Because as we go through things and try to apply our own understanding to it, we mess it up often. We need things explained for us, broken down for us. We need correction. Right? Often, some of us, me, we need correction and counseling. We need connections made so that when we look at this section of Scripture in Ephesians, we then tie it to the section of Scripture that I'm going to mention in a little bit to in Hebrews and in 2 Timothy, where God is talking about the same thing over and over and over again and explaining it in different ways so that we can make application of the word in our lives. We need to be equipped. So as a church, we need saints in the church to build each other up, to encourage one another, and to strengthen the body as a whole. So the church needs people. Okay? And the saints, as believers, we need to be in the church to equip us to do the things that we just said that you have to do. It's a very cyclical relationship. You come here, we train you, you go out there to do the things, you come back here. We need it all. The body of Christ is made up of believers. I want to take, does all that make sense? We have an understanding of we have to be equipped. We have to minister to one another. We each have to take care of one another. We look at the rest of this passage of Scripture and we can see how important it is. Because it's critical. It talks about becoming mature in Christ according to his measure. And then we get to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. And here's where it gets really deep. This is where we find the importance. Ephesians 4, verse 14, it says, "Then we will no longer be little children." So we've gone through, be equipped. And if you are equipped, "then we will no longer be little children, tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind and teaching, by human cunning with cleverness in the techniques of deceit." That's a whole lot in one verse. You come to church to be equipped so that you're not like little children, tossed by the waves. You ever seen a kid go out and try to fight the ocean? That does not work. Because water is incredibly powerful. Blown around by every wind of teaching. In this passage, I find that without equipping, without the work of the ministry, we are weak. We are powerless. Without strength training, without endurance training, we get weaker. Right? You stop lifting weights for a little while, you lose it. Ask Rory. She'll tell you all about her strength training. But if she were to go today, after not having been in the gym for a while, she's not benching what she was benching when she was in gym. It's not the same. You lose it. You get weaker. The same is true spiritually. And verse 14 says that without the encouragement and the building of the church through the work of the saints, without you guys interacting with one another, we will be like little children, following whatever we want. My children are overwhelmed by desires to do their own thing right now. If there were a clown to run through the room, they would be following that clown like crazy. They get so distracted. Guys, this is a perfect example. Right here, we see it. Hey, Evelyn.
Evelyn.
So we got to train them up. We got to equip them to be able to do this. Without the building of each other up, without the training that we have from one another, without the equipping of the church, we fall prey to falsehoods, blown around by every wind of teaching. The Bible promises that there will be false teachers. It promises us that. And there are. There are so many false teachers. If you are in your word, if you're studying the Bible, you see them all over. I was talking to a friend the other day, and I said, I'm so ready for all of this election stuff to be over Because I want to be able to point out the people who have been false teachers and use this as an example and say, hey, that's a time where they were a false prophet. Let's stop listening to them. Let's shut that off. Because so many people have made declarations and claims and things and led people astray by nonsense. The Bible promises that there will be false teachers. They are abundant. There are so many people who call themselves Christians. Wolves in sheep's clothing is the way the Bible describes them. They're going to look like us. They're going to talk like us. They maybe even worship the way that we do. And they're going to lead people away by the masses. Because it will be the doctrine that they teach that will be false. It'll be the subtle things that they say that people grab onto and follow. It will be the teachings that lead them away from the truth of Christ. That's what this section of Scripture is talking about. Verse 14 says, we will fall to that without equipping. It will be the teachings. The best defense against false teachers is to be equipped by the offices of the church and doing the work of the ministry. To be equipped in the church by truthful teachers, by honest teachers, by people who are rightly dividing the word of God, who are focused on Scripture and not living your best life, who are focused on honoring God above everything else. By being equipped by those people and by doing the work of the ministry, we won't fall prey to that. That's the best defense. It's going to come by having deep, difficult theological discussions amongst one another, building each other up, talking about the intricacies of Scripture. Not just the milk, not just the easy stuff of, yay, we're saved, but the deep stuff that makes you divide the word and say, okay, and this word translated means this, and we find that here. Having those discussions amongst yourselves makes the difference. Verse 14 also warns that we can fall prey to cleverness outside of the church. It says that we will fall to human cunning and cleverness. I see these as attacks from outside. People who come in with claims of science and intellect. People come in with these presuppositions of intelligence. These doctrines of evolution that cause you to in your mind, doubt the word. I listened to Neil deGrasse Tyson the other day as he presented one piece of evidence after another that the Bible was false and that God didn't exist, because as humans we're so smart and so clever and so cunning, and we've discovered that there can't be a God. And people like that will lead us away from the truth just as quickly as the false teachers within the church, if we have not been properly equipped. Equipping is essential. Equipping is essential. So how do we do it? How do we become and remain Evelyn? Just send her to my office. Take her to my office, please. She can probably go by herself. She's all right. Love you, girl. She's gone. How do we become and remain equipped saints? That's the question. In Paul's letter to Timothy, you see the responsibility of those offices. Paul is writing to a pastor, and he says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may become complete, equipped for every good work. It's Scripture. The way that I equip you is that I maintain a focus on Scripture, that every time that we come together and I share with you anything, I share scripture. Not my thoughts, not the way that I feel, not the way that I believe, but the Bible. We use the Bible for teaching. It must be the focus of all preaching that happens in this church. To live a happy life, to learn to live a happy life is probably okay, but that's not our intention here. It cannot be the sole focus of a church. As a church, it makes it critical that we develop a preaching and teaching ministry, that we get back to meeting more than just this time a month. We've gone through a COVID nonsensical time. We have to get back together where we're gathering more than just once. Where we're not just dieting 20 minutes a week. That's why we're going to start small groups. That's why we're going to have Wednesday night time devoted to youth and children. Because as long as we can do those things well, as long as we focus on that, we'll become an equipped church, ready to carry out the work of the ministry to one another as saints. So that's from the point of view of the offices that we have, the teachers, and I have several in this room. From the point of view of a teacher, we have to focus on scripture. From the point of view of a saint, we look at Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. It says, "And let us consider one another in order to provide or to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So the author of the book of Hebrews is saying, saints, consider, talk to one another, encourage one another, provoke love and good works. Provoke in one another action, change. Call each other out once in a while. Hey, don't live that way. That's not a good way to be. The Bible talks about that, man. Figure that out. You're not supposed to be that way. Don't neglect gathering together. This is important. Whether you're online, in person, this time is essential. It's critical that we get together here, that we gather as believers and we receive that training, that equipping. That's what it's referring to in Hebrews 10, 25. Hey, you got to get together and encourage one another. And it's so much more important, it says, as you see the day approaching, as the world gets worse. In your lifetime, you've seen it happen. I was talking to somebody yesterday and we were discussing the political climate of the world, and I said, the church will see persecution in the next 10 years that it's never seen before in the United States. It will see a difference in the way that we are treated by the world around us. We've been fortunate for 200 years, and I see that coming to an end. There are people in every branch of government right now that do not care for your tax-exempt status. Guess what? When that changes, churches will close. Maybe not ours. Maybe we sell 5 acres and we just keep our little building and we do something small here. But churches that don't have anybody, that it's just one pastor and 6 people in a beautiful building, they can't afford that. Churches that are like our church family in Quincy, Grandview, they have a huge campus. Huge campus. They have a school that uses their facility. They have a huge sanctuary, and they bought an old Catholic campus. It's beautiful, gorgeous place. If that becomes taxable, it will change their world. We're going to go back to home meetings before you know it, guys. I almost guarantee it. So we see the importance of showing up. As we continue to do church online and in person, it's critical that we connect with one another as the church. It's critical that we receive that equipping. There are times that we can't make it. I get that. This isn't the end-all, be-all of your week. There are things that we need to do outside of this. Some of us have work that we have to do. I know that. Your first ministry is to your family. But it has to also be to this body. As we come into this new year, our focus is on being a church that glorifies God above all things. And secondly, a church that is equipped for good work of ministry to one another, so that you know the problems the Johnson family is going through and you can minister to us. So that you know what the Wins are experiencing and how to minister to them. Because you're so saturated with the Word, you're so saturated with equipment that you can't help but pull out a flashlight when they need light in the darkness. That you can't help but share Scripture when they need it desperately because you have it in your heart. Because we have to be that people. We have to be that church. If not, we will fall prey to either false teachers, false doctrine, or just be led away from the church entirely by cleverness and cunning. That's the way. So we see as a church that this is the way. We see as a church that from the point of view of the pastor and the teachers and the prophets and the evangelists that call this place their home, we have to have a focus on Scripture. We have to have a focus on sharing Scripture, on living Scripture. Let that be our focus. And as saints, we have to make a commitment to be here. We have to make a commitment to be a part of this, or you'll fall away from it. Amen? Good things? We're going to be that church going into the next year, into this year. We're going to focus everything we do. We're starting up small groups. I'm so excited for small groups. We haven't done small groups in this church in ever. I don't know the last time we did something like that. We've done some Sunday morning Bible studies. We might get back to doing that if I can get a teacher that's not on the worship team. Better be important with Looney Tunes, man. Good. If I can get a leader that's not on the worship team, we might do Sunday morning stuff again, because they've still got to practice and I can't submit more of our morning to that. We have to get together. We have to be this body as often and as much as we can be. And that's going to be weird going into, you know, we're now on month 10 of, somebody said the other day that it was the 1 year anniversary of the first COVID-19 death. We're going on month 10 of lockdown, of masks, of nonsense, of all of the things. So it's going to be weird. We're going to have Wednesday nights with kids running around in masks and being socially distant as much as you can tell children to do that. We're going to have to share pizza and stuff somehow with distance. We're going to have to break bread together. We're going to have to do life together and still be a part of all of that nonsense that's going on. But it is critical. It's so important. I know I say that on a day where there's snow outside and people are traveling across the tri-state area and doing the things that they have to do. We have to get together. We have to be together. It's the only way we make it. Amen? Good things. Let's pray. God, we love you so much. It is our desire to glorify you and bring you honor and hope for us. God, we thank you for being peace and joy in our lives. Thank you for being sustaining in our lives. Thank you for being everything that we need. God, we ask that you would bless each one of these people that are here, that you would help us to become the equipped saints that you've called us to be, that you would pour out love and grace in each one of these households. We thank you for that. I ask for blessings abundantly on these people, on our church. We ask for favor in the world as we go out and attempt to share the gospel, and we go out and have these conversations with one another and with others. Lord, we love you so much. We commit this time to you. We ask that you would just help us, God. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
too.